Hey everybody, Tyler from TalkCDL. I just want to let you guys know before you start listening to this episode, this is a two-parter. This will be part one of why I quit my last trucking job, and then next week you will listen to part two of why I quit my last trucking job. It was just a long episode. We like to keep them short, so we split it in half, roughly. I believe the next week we'll cover the top two reasons why I quit my last trucking job, and this episode will cover the first three. So hopefully you enjoy the episodes. Don't forget to subscribe, like, and all that good stuff, as you'll hear in about 2 seconds. So drive safe, guys, and enjoy the episode.
All you truckers and truckers' wives and everybody in the trucking industry, maybe it was an accident or maybe you did it on purpose, but you found TalkCDL, the trucker show. I'm Troy and this is
Tyler.
Hey, Tyler, before we get started, you got something to say to these people?
Of course, we got to tell them how to find us. Hey, head over to TalkCDL.com, the official website for TalkCDL, the trucker show. There you can find all of our social links, such as our link to iTunes and Google Play. But especially, head over to Facebook.com/TalkCDL and hit that like button. We got a great show ahead of us, so let's get to it.
You know, it's funny. Some people say, and 3, 2, 1, right? And then they hit the go. I like to have it on, like right now it's on air. So anyway, so and 3, 2, 1.
So we're already on.
We're on.
So the 3, 2, 1 really doesn't matter.
It doesn't. It's really just, it's kind of like.
Are people listening to us right now?
They are, because like 3, 2, 1 to us means like we're pros. It makes us feel like we're something. We're really not.
Stupid.
Hey, so listen, man, I want to talk about today. There was a recent survey put out on why did you quit your last trucking job? And Johnny, you've worked in trucking for some time now, and so have I. So, you know, we've seen truckers quit for various reasons. And it's a little survey of, I think it was like 130 people interviewed or something like that. And I think we just got like the number 1 through 6 answers. So if you're a trucking company out there, you might want to take note on why truckers are quitting, you know, because this is, believe it or not, people pay good money to find out why their drivers are leaving trucking companies. It's true. Survey companies. And we got our own little survey there. Big Johnny, or should I say Johnny Acid? What do you think, Johnny?
I prefer Johnny Acid.
I know you said you prefer the elevator going down. You told us that the other day.
That's right.
Okay. So Johnny, you know, before we get started on that.
I'm on the Wonkavator today. I go in every direction.
The Wonkavator.
That's right.
Okay. All right. Let's keep it all trucking here. All so, right. So before we get started on our, why did you quit your last trucking job survey? I heard a story today, and I don't want to forget this story. It's kind of a funny story. I'm not going to give any names. You heard a little bit of it.
Yeah. That's a good one.
A director of recruiting was talking to me, and he was telling me about, it's freaking crazy. So, speaking of quitting jobs or whatever, this guy, supposedly a trucker. I won't even tell you what company or where he was working or where it happened, but guess recently he went in to dispatch and started beating the hell out of his dispatcher. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. But tell him why.
Well, because he thought he was an alien.
Because he was on meth.
Yeah, he was like on some kind of drug, right. You know. Because so this would have went with our drug episode the other day, Trucking High.
Right. But they tied in. Don't it ties together, doesn't it?
I know. So he beats the hell out of the guy. And the weirdest thing is the guy's not even in jail, but you can find his arrest records. And how crazy of a story is that? I mean, I heard a lot of different stories, but I never heard a trucker beat.
Thank God he wasn't driving down the road.
But I got to admit one thing, though. There are a lot of dispatchers that I kind of thought were aliens at one time myself.
Yeah. Good point. Yeah.
Maybe was an alien. I don't know.
It's possible.
Oh, so.
Yeah. Anyway. You never know.
No, but we don't want to make fun of somebody who got beat up, but you know, dispatchers, you know, we love them.
We do.
You know, it's funny in trucking. Every department seems like, oh, you got operations, you got recruiting, you got safety, which really is over recruiting, you know, and, you know, one thinks the other is to blame for this. It's funny the way it is. And then, of course, the drivers, you know, that's a whole different crew. So, and You know, we're all about the drivers here. So anyways, anyway, you know, we're just babbling. Let's get on with this survey. So this survey that we put out, I'll read it real quick here. Got a lot of interesting comments, but the actual title of it is, why did you quit your last trucking company? And here's the answers that are mainly given is no money, no miles. Okay. And I'm not going to tell you which is number one till the end. We're going to save it. Number B would have been no home time. I quit because I wasn't getting home. C, bad equipment. They had me in a piece of crap. D, no respect. Okay.
That's a good one.
It is a good one. No respect, mm-hmm. You know. E, the boss or dispatch, maybe look like an alien. But anyways, E was the boss or dispatch. F was running areas. Good answer.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one. Yeah.
Okay. G was got a better offer. Duh. And then H was low mileage rate. Okay. You know, like some guys will be like, oh, well, it gave me 2 more cents a mile. So I left. Okay.
What about G?
G was got a better offer. We already read that.
How about H?
Okay, we're going to go to H, low mileage rate. You are Johnny Acid.
Where's no, what about J?
Okay, we're going to go to HI.
Oh, that's right. I skipped
There's
one.
There's an I in there. Yeah. Okay, no benefits is one of the answers.
Uh-huh.
And then J was, they were working for a 1099 company, and they were looking to, you know, get more legit. And then K was, their pay was shorted. You know, like, and I'll give you an example of what they mean by that pay was shorted. A lot of drivers, and I used to do surveys in the industry, like what they call exit interviews and that. And there was a small percent of drivers. I'm going to start right there for a second. Just explain that one comment, pay was shorted. We used to do exit interviews for carriers. And we had these graphs growing and all. And the number one, two, and three answers, and actually the first four or five answers, it's hard to get them under control, which you can, okay?
Right.
And I'm going to give suggestions on for trucking companies, how they can get the harder ones under control. But that pay was shorted. And I'll give you some examples of pay was shorted. Maybe a trip wasn't turned in on time, okay? And today is probably no excuse for that because they have like trip scan and that. Or how about this one? A lot of companies make you pay for tolls.
Right.
And put the receipt in the trip envelope, and then you got to get reimbursed. Or a lumper. You know what a lumper is? A lumper is obviously when you get to a place and the guy that unloads your truck, he's called a lumper. And let's say you got to come up with $200 for a lumper, and now you got to wait to get your money back off the company.
Well, I have heard the term lumper before, but it's it means something different. And if you grew up in the 70s, you'll know what that means.
Okay, Johnny Acid, we're going off trucking now.
You're the one who brought up lumper. I mean, come on.
So anyways,
I'll explain it later. I can't say it on the air.
Lumper fees. So,
right.
So then you've got other things like maybe an overweight ticket, scale tickets. Drivers obviously are obligated, you know, especially if they're loading 44,000 pounds or whatever the case is, mm-hmm. You want to make sure your axles and all are you're not overweight. So you pay for your cat scale ticket. And a lot of companies take their time. This is the truth. A lot of companies jack around getting those receipts paid. And I'm going to tell you something. When I used to do the big surveys for trucking companies, it was a small percent, maybe 1-5% of those trucking companies were losing drivers because of this. Not everybody's doing it wrong. But now, let me tell you something. I've seen up to 10% of drivers quitting because of that remark. I was getting shorted.
10%?
Up to 10%. Really? Now, think about that. If you have 100 trucks and you have 10 drivers, like say a month or a year, whatever your turnover is, quitting because of stupid office, you know, clerical things that can be very easily fixed. How much money are you throwing out the door every time you have a driver sitting? And we can start naming what opportunity cost is for a driver to sit each time you have a driver sitting. I don't know. Let's say your truck's averaging $3,500 invoicing a week per truck. Let's say that's what you are invoicing your customers on. It's $3,500 a week opportunity cost. It's not all profit. But think about this. If you have a truck sitting and you're paying on the damn thing, you know, $600, $700, $800 a week.
Right.
You know, if you have 10 of them sitting, mm-hmm. now you're looking at, you know, $6,000, $7,000, $8,000 a week. If you have 100 sitting, you can do the math. So what I'm getting at is when you start saying pay was shorted, every time I put them damn toll receipts in, I had to beg them for a month. The payroll kept jacking around. Well, and they
Hold on. I thought most companies, they give you toll passes and passes and stuff like that. No,
absolutely not.
Isn't that true?
No. Some do and some don't, you know. And the ones that don't, okay, they expect you to pull the money out of your pocket. Or what they have is cash advance.
Mm-hmm,
okay, mm-hmm. So you pull out cash advance, you pay for it. But see, now they're going to take cash advance out of your, let's say you have $1,000 coming, but you took $200 out in cash advance to pay for a lumper. There's that word lumper again for you, mm-hmm. right? So now, if you don't put the receipt for the lumper in that trip envelope, they're going to now take $200 out of your paycheck until they get that receipt, okay? So it really, now the driver, if you think about it, that's a hassle. If I'm a driver and I'm an ex-driver, and I'm going to tell you how the drivers feel, I should not be obligated to pull a damn penny out of my pocket to operate your freaking business, Mr. Trucking Company. And look, I'm hot today.
But
I'm being honest now. I'm being honest. They're absolutely not. And I'm going to tell you, this should be a lesson learned for your smaller carriers. One truck, Chuck. You got five trucks, you got 10 trucks, whatever the case is. If you don't have it set up to where your drivers are being taken care of, okay, by your clerks on the inside, and you have your drivers bearing responsibility of pulling their own money out, you can set up safety nets for yourself. And if you can't trust your drivers to do it the right way, you got the wrong drivers, okay? So make sure you have the right drivers, make sure you have it set up. And I'm telling you, a lot of people, they trip over dollars to save pennies.
Well, if the company keeps doing that and they keep, you know, basically screwing you on all these receipts and stuff, can't you just blow through the tolls, man? Blow through the scales. Who cares?
Yeah. Well, yeah, and you
what
know,
I would do
that.
I'd be like, look, man, the cop could chase me for 5 miles. When he pulls me over, I'm going to say, look, I don't have any money. I can't go up on the scale. Company's not giving me scale pass or a toll pass, so I'm just going to blow through the scales from now on. You understand, right, Mr. Officer?
Well, see, they don't, and they give you an award for that.
What's the award?
A ticket, and it goes on your MVR, Johnny Acid. You can't do that.
What if they have to chase you down for like 10 miles? Do you still get a ticket, or?
Well, they love running real long trips and chase. Yeah, oh yeah, you make them really happy. I'm gonna tell you how you can make
it's
a
like Smokey and the Bandit.
Yeah, if you know what the way you can make a cop happier is to really step on it to get away.
That's
because
what I've
they
heard.
Get to, they get to play then. It's
I've heard that
they love chase. They love chase. And see now, I'm gonna tell you how you can even make them really happier.
Right.
Have your wallet sitting on the floor.
Oh,
right. As he's approaching your car.
Yeah.
Reach for it really fast. Reach down between your legs really fast.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
I like that.
Yeah, they really respect that. That's
it's a great idea.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
No, but being real, going back to this being shorted.
Sorry, I got off track.
It's the little things that trucking companies can save a lot of money. See, a lot of companies concentrate on equipment. Running areas that they concentrate on getting their drivers home in time, making sure the pay is right, making sure the miles is right, because they are the big ones. And we're going to read that here in a little bit, but they don't realize that there's a bunch of little things that add up, you know, and that's what I'm telling you. That clerical thing is one of the things we used to see a lot of. Like I said, you might have 100 drivers, maybe 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 quit because of the getting shorted thing. And I'm telling you, that's a lot of money that to lose on something that could have been so cheap to fix is all I'm really saying. And that's realistically an inexperienced company that acts that way.
I'm really interested to see the reaction to this from the listeners out there. Hey, you guys listening out there, maybe you guys that are listening right now that have been shorted, that have had to wait forever to get paid, that have been nickel and dime, put some comments in there. I'd really like to see how much of an impact this has on you guys out there.
I agree. That's a good idea, Johnny. And you know, you don't have to put the trucking company names, and we're not out to bash trucking companies. I'll bash a driver or a company, whoever the bad guy is. You know, if it's a good driver, I'm all for the good driver. If it's an unsafe driver, I'm against them. If it's a good company, I'm all for them. If it's a company screwing drivers, I'm against them. And I could name a bunch of companies that I know are out there screwing drivers because they have the reputations. But we're not here to beat, you know, certain companies up. All right. So what we're gonna do is we're gonna start reading this survey and gosh, I almost lost my thought there. Okay, so here's some of the answers. I'm going to give you in order down to number one, and then there's some comments in there, and we'll go ahead and go back in there. So number five, and believe it or not, this is fixable, but it's big.
Hey, Troy, let's take a pause for a second and thank our sponsor, Mercer Transportation, an awesome flatbed owner-operator company. You can show your support to the show by heading over to mercertown.com or talkcdl.com and click on the banner.
Yeah, drivers, if you're looking to drive and lease on to one of the best owner-operator companies in the United States, I'm telling you, Mercer Transportation is where it's at. These people are sincere. They're genuine. We've talked to them several times ourselves, and they are the real deal. Check them out and let us know how you like them. Number five, this is one of the top five biggest reasons why a trucker quits his or her trucking company. Are you ready?
What is it?
The boss or the dispatcher, the guy that's in charge of the driver. He or she is number five reason why a trucker leaves. You got an a-hole for a dispatcher. You got one that's going to show everybody I can crack the whip. And I'm going to tell you, one of the worst kind of dispatchers that I've seen is when you get a guy that's a trucker. A lot of truckers go, yeah, they need to get them truckers in there and let them dispatch instead of these college kids. I'm going to tell you something. Now, this is the truth. You get a hardcore trucker in the dispatch office, what he's going to do is he's going to try to show the rest of the office, I know how to whip these guys into shape. Trust me, I'll take care of these guys.
Yeah, you're right.
Exactly, man. Yeah. I've seen it. And it's like, guy, you're going overboard here, man. Just because you're a trucker, and maybe he was a guy that ran 3,500 miles a week and he was never quit, and you got 40 drivers to handle. You can't take 40 drivers and think they're going to run like you were some super trucker at one time. You got to have somebody that's honestly in dispatch. That's where the F-bombs and the go to hells are. Everybody knows that in a trucking company. But the one thing about dispatch is you got to have somebody that's the voice of reason. You got to have somebody that's able to talk the guy off the wall. If you have 40 drivers or 30 drivers or 20 drivers, whatever you have on your board every day that you have to deal with, we all know dispatch has a certain percent of whiners, you know, I don't want that load. I need to get home and, you know, all that other crap. So we're not going to just always blame the dispatcher, but you need a dispatcher that every day can get in there and he knows that, you know, John Doe, or should I say Johnny Doe? Johnny Doe, right. All right, is he's probably going to be complaining about something. Well, if you come in there and let that guy get you in a bad mood, okay, and then it's going to affect the other drivers, okay, because of the fight you just had with the squeaky, whining trucker that is never pleasable. You go in there, if you already know ahead of time, I would pray first, and then just already expect John Doe to be crying about his load or whatever the case is. You know, we can name a million things that a driver could whine about. But if you already go in there with the attitude of, all right, I'm going to have to talk John off the wall and stop him from jumping every day. And then you got the guy that's going, F you, man, I'm sick of this company. Where do you want this truck? Come get it. You know, whatever, right? If you let those bad small percent of drivers that's on your board affect you, it now affects the good guys. And then when you start having the good guys quitting, guess what? You're really costing the company a lot of money just because you can't handle it. And personally, if you don't have the attitude or the personality to be in dispatch, you shouldn't be there.
Well, you know, you make an interesting point. I never thought of it that way. You know, you get big daddy trucker in there. I drove for 40 years. You know, stop being a sissy. I never had any heat. I'd sleep in that truck, and guess what? It was a day cab. I didn't have no damn sleeper. I just crawled across the seat.
got a blanket, you can see your breath.
Hey.
Boy, I was out tarping in 20 degrees and the wind was blowing 40 miles an hour.
Listen, I grew up with that guy. It was called my grandfather. And he was serious. He was a bootlegger, a coal bootlegger. They used to mine their own coal. And those guys were tough. He had fingers like my wrist, my grandfather. I used to sit there at the dinner table looking at his fingers. I'm like, how do you get fingers that damn big?
Right.
My gosh, how can you bowl? There's no way his fingers would fit in a damn bowling ball. But like they used to go down with dump trailers and sometimes have to scoop them out by hand, you know, whole coal, you know, dump trailers of coal. They literally, their sleeper was a 2x8 across the front seats. So
really?
You're right. So you get a guy like that in dispatch, it's like, hey, you little sissy.
Yeah, get in the truck. Stop whining, boy.
Take your dress off there, boy, and start driving a truck. I used to sleep on a board. I had splinters in my ass in the middle of the night. The hell's wrong with you? Back there in a damn condo, you luxury little...
Yeah, I used to take the sleeping bag and I used to lay underneath the engine because that's the only place it was warm at night.
Yeah, damn sissy.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, you upset because your air conditioner ain't getting down to 52 degrees.
I had to drive 18 hours a day.
Yeah, I walked to school in the snow, uphill
both ways.
Yeah. And honestly, you get the dispatcher that has that attitude. You know, there some guys get... Let's be honest, man. You know, we're in a different generation. You got other truckers coming out that are you know, I don't want to say entitled generation, but you know damn well you get a pricky boss, man. That's number five. You know,
number five.
I think we elaborated on the boss a little bit there. What do you think?
Well, you know, for a good reason. I think a lot of people quit their jobs.
I seen a post on Facebook the other day. Uh-huh. It said people don't quit jobs; they quit bosses.
But you might want to keep that in mind since I work for you. You might want to think about treating me a little bit better.
Yeah.
I can never get a word in edgewise. You know, you're the one who asked me to come on the show, and here I am. I'm just sitting here watching you.
Yeah.
I can't talk. You're just over-talking me all the time.
All right, Johnny Acid. All right, so you ready? And number four kind of is going to go with almost what number five, but it says it was respect. That was the number four answer from the drivers why they quit their job. So it's not just... their dispatcher, again, we go back to, and if you've ever, you know, been to different trucking companies, which I have, you know, you get to the payroll department, right? Not just your dispatcher is a jackass. Now you got the lady in payroll. You're trying to call her and saying, hey, why was I shorted? Okay.
No respect.
You know, and she hangs up on you. Or you go in and you slide the little glass door open and she slams it in your face, or she's got her mouth running, or the safety director, and safety directors have been known to be a little bit rammy too. But all of a sudden you're in a company and you're going, I don't even like being here. You know, guess what? Respect goes a long way. That's number four. So that beat out having a jackass for a dispatcher. Number four is respect overall in the company. I don't like the way this company's run. And look, let's be honest with each other. Usually when the truck driver doesn't get respect, you heard of that old saying, the crap starts where? At the top of the hill.
And rolls down.
That's right. To us workers.
That's right.
And it's a fact. So you got the big guy, the overall big guy that's, you know, whipping the guys underneath him, terminal managers and dispatchers and safety directors. And those guys are in bad moods, and it just keeps pouring downhill until you get.
You know, you get it from the customers too. You show up at 5 till 5 on a Friday, and they go, "You know what? We're closing the doors. We're not staying past 5 o'clock. You're going to have to stay overnight here, and we'll see you in the morning."
And let me tell you something. You know, some people out there might be going, "What the hell is he talking about? How can you include a customer?" But I'm going to say something very good, Johnny Acid. But I'm going to tell you why. Because you know what it made me think of?
What?
The reefer division. Okay. And when I say reefer, I don't mean pot. I mean reefer division because I know how you think.
Thank you for clarifying that.
Clarifying reefer, refrigerated division.
Okay.
Exactly. So, but now if you're a reefer driver, like I was,
right,
everybody knows about the people in cold storage cold storage houses.
Mm-hmm.
When you go in there, they are the rudest people in the world. So if you are a driver that is coming from maybe the last 3 years of pulling a dry box or a flatbed or a tanker or whatever, you're not used to the reefer attitude. And I don't know if it's because it's so damn cold in there or what. I mean, I've seen fist fights in cold warehouses. I mean,
really?
I could tell you stories about Bevico in Pennsylvania. I could tell you stories about Cisco, Norton Cisco up there in, below Franklin or wherever it is, below Boston. I could tell you stories of the rudest people in the world. And it is what it is. So I would imagine a guy that's coming from dry van and he's dealing with a company that's got an attitude, and then he's got nothing but bad customers to deal with.
Uh-huh.
I could see him saying respect in every single way. And listen, that's my thought of the day coming from Johnny Acid. John, number three, here we go. Now we're getting into the three big ones.
All right.
And I'm going to tell you something. Number three has changed over the years. When I used to do these surveys, number three was really number two. But in this survey, number three lost the number two spot by a good, not a giant percent, a couple, maybe 2 or 3%. But that's still a significant amount. Are you ready for number three?
Yeah, what is it?
Home time.
Wasn't, I thought that would be number two.
I'm telling you, it used to be number two.
Really?
I'm not talking about going to the bathroom either. Right. And yeah. It was number three, but this is number three.
Okay.
Not getting home enough. Now, I'm going to tell you a story. When I went to work for a company called Elderlight, they're out of business now. They were a casket hauling company. I used to haul, you know, caskets all over the country. I'll never forget.
It's really creepy.
Not really. I'll never forget.
Were they empty?
Yeah, they were.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Except when I slept in them. No, I'm just kidding. I'll never forget.
Right.
Interviewing on the telephone with the safety director. His name was Glenn. And Glenn had that, hey, man, I'm Glenn. I'm not going to say his last name. He's a super nice guy. His name's Glenn. And he goes, hey, I got Troy on the phone here. And he, because he's yelling back to operations.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, listen, I just need to be able to get home. I'd like to be home every week. I live near Allentown, Pennsylvania. And he says, well, Troy, we've got Brooklyn Casket there, and we can get you home every week if you don't mind taking some New York loads. I said, dude, give me all the, I don't care. Give me New York, man. I was used to running New York.
I just wanted the home time.
I said, get me home. I'll run New York every damn week. I don't care. Mm-hmm. And so he literally yells out. Now he's out in Indiana. I'm in Pennsylvania. He yells out. I can hear him yelling to dispatch. Hey, I got Troy on the phone here. He's a young driver. He said he'll take all the New York City you can give him as long as you get him home. Right. He pauses for a second. He goes, hey, Troy, dispatch said they love you already. Come on down. So he has, you know, he had me all, you know, fooled. I'm like, yeah, man, these guys love me. Yeah. I was a dumb young trucker. And so I go out there.
So you're delivering caskets to New York City.
Right. So I'm going to get to that here in a second. So I go out there, I start working for them.
Right.
First couple of weeks, every weekend, man, I'm home. Right. This went on for 3 weeks. Guess what?
No more home time.
Well, I started getting my dispatcher, Dwight, which I really did like Dwight. But, you know, he started, you know, coming up to me. Hey, Troy, can you do me a favor? Hey, Troy, can you do me a favor? And this would be on a Friday night.
So what are you going to say?
When I was supposed to be getting a load from Indiana back to Pennsylvania.
Right.
Hey, can you take a Washington, Seattle? Hey, I've got we used to have this run called the Texas Tour. We'd pick up it in York, Pennsylvania, and you'd go down to Dallas on a Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You had
mm-hmm.
to leave on, you had to leave over the weekend because it was 1500 miles. So you had to leave by Friday night, Saturday morning. Right. And you delivered in Dallas on a Monday and then Abilene on a Tuesday. And then you finished out on Tuesday and you'd go to San Antonio down the back roads and you'd go over to Houston, empty out. Right. and you had to help hand unload these caskets, fold these pads, heavy pads. And then you had a whole, you had like 100+ pads that you had to stack. You had a belly box underneath. You had to pick them things up and load your belly box up so you can get a backhaul.
Do you call it a live unload if you're unloading a casket, or?
You call it touch freight.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean live unload or unlive? Unlive.
That's
unload.
What I'm thinking.
Are you saying it's like almost like the undead?
Right.
You know, I'll be honest with you, in the casket business, it never bothered me, but I'll tell you what did when you had little kid caskets on. And laying all joking aside, I hated seeing them on there. Every now and then you'd see a casket on there. It was like three times. It was huge. But anyways, going back to this story, 3 weeks after being there, I started getting the, can you do me the favors? Can you run the Texas tour? Can you run over to Washington? Next thing you know, a couple months go by and I'm getting home only every couple weeks. Mm. Now you remember in the beginning, the, hey, Troy said, oh, you can give me all that New York you can get. And I'll, as long as you can get me home every week, I'll take all the New York you can get. They love you already, Troy. Come on down. Remember that?
Well, yeah.
I went into the office and I told them I had a big fight and I didn't care. I was like, listen, here's the conversation Glenn had with me. And now here's what you're doing. And, you know, I want to see my family and yada, yada, yada. Well, I mean, I'm not going to go in there and brag about, you know, but I literally was.
That's exactly why a lot of the drivers leave, because they're told one thing, they come on board, and the next thing you know, everything changes.
Yeah.
Right.
And then what happens is if you get a driver that's a pushover and he just goes with it, next thing you know, he's really looking for already an exit. Now, I stayed there a couple of years. I loved that job. You know, the average weight of a casket load was 15,000 to 25,000 pounds. So you really got to roll. You didn't have to be weighed down. It was a really good job and you made good money. I was like 60 to 70 grand, you know, and that was 20 some years ago. That was good money. You know, 65,000 was good money back then. So anyways, so number three is not getting home. And I can relate to that not getting home thing. And, you know, a lot of drivers, and we'll talk about this, but a lot of drivers don't realize in trucking, and this is sad to say, it's hard to find money in home time. It really is. I'm not saying there isn't some jobs out there, but usually the really, 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 really good ones, you have to, you know, get in line for. See, to a trucker, the really, really, really good jobs are, I'm home every day. I only have to work day shift 5 days a week. Every now and then I'll do a Saturday.
No touch freight.
It's union. Yeah. It's like all this stuff. And I don't blame them for wanting that, but that job's like almost impossible to find. There's 10 million people in line for that. And then you have your jobs where I'm making really, really good money, but I don't get home.
Right.
So if you're a driver out there listening to this and you're looking for a company that's going to get you home and to where you can make the money, I'm telling you, that's a hard nut to crack. It really, truly is. It really is because of the wages. You look at Southeast regional drivers. Those guys are home every weekend. But, you know, you're looking at 2,000 miles a week, and Southeast regional guys make about 10 cents a mile less than anybody else. You know why? Because they can get 1 million people to run Southeast regional.
Sure.
There's, you know, especially this time of year, it's winter. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, you get a guy in Florida, he'll run for 30 cents a mile just to stay home and stay out of the snow and everything. But then at the end of the week, his paycheck's horrible. So you got this struggle. Now I got the home time. And what happens with these guys that want the home time, doesn't take long before they realize, now I got to go back on the road to make the money. It's like this vicious cycle. But the home time thing, that's number three.
All right, truckers, there you have it. That was part one of why I quit my last trucking job. Stay tuned next week, Friday at 5 a.m. for part two to release. Thank you so much, guys. Drive safe. Oh.